Chapter 58. Cast off the mask. Battle barge Charybdis, Solitorium. After they had reached the borders of the Segmentum Solar, Hecht had retreated to the Solitorium. He waited until Numeon and Varkir had left before secreting himself within the sanctuary. His mind strained under the weight of two conflicting psyches. During his reunion with Kaur Galik, he had believed he was Barthusa Narek, but then, confronted by the reality of his mission, another had begun to assert itself, Caspian Hecht. He was broken, a personality fractured across a bifurcating line, neither wholly one nor the other. Narek tried to remember what had been done to him. Hecht fought to deny it. "Who am I?" he asked the dormant flame flickering in its iron cradle. No answer came. He drew his knife. It had been polished to a mirror sheen, but Narek did not recognize the face reflected back at him in the blade. In the lambent light, it appeared like an imposter, an unseen and unknown identity. "Kill the Primarch." That was what his instincts were telling him. The Lord of Drakes. But he was already dead, wasn't he? Nevertheless, the imperative lingered. It would be easy enough. Two more guards had been posted by the entrance to the sanctum. He could kill them. Only two salamanders aboard this ship would present a challenge, and both of them were far enough away not to matter. But whenever Narek considered it, he hesitated, as if a counter-impulse had been put in his way. And so he came to the Solitorium to try to order his thoughts. Two minds could not exist in one body for long, even a transhuman one. It would tear him apart, half Narek, half Hecht. He could already feel himself unraveling. To lose one's identity, it tapped into something primal, something no hypno-conditioning could entirely contain. Fear seized him, genuine fear, the first he had ever known or could remember. "Whose are these hands?" he asked aloud, and heard the question echoed back. "This voice!" he cried. Trying to regress, he thought back to the storage crate when he had first awoken. He also remembered his cell on Macrag and Titus Prato's interrogations. At times, the latter felt like another life, like another's life. At others, it was his history. He was slipping again. He thought about the crate and about the body he had found within it. He remembered the armor. He remembered being Barthusa Narek. The civilians he had slain to take over the freighter, docking at Rampart when his fuel had ebbed to fumes. The imperative to find fresh transport had been strong, a directive almost like a conditioned reflex. Is Caspian Hecht really Barthusa Narek? Or is Barthusa Narek really Caspian Hecht? It spiraled endlessly. I was taken. He could deduce that much. One moment in a cell in the Eastern Keep, the next in the darkness of the storage crate. Smuggled off Macrag. But by whom? The one whose body he had regained consciousness next to? And to what end? A psyker. Not Titus Prato. Someone more powerful, strong enough to cloak their escape and confound the sons of Gilliman in their own house. Only one psyker allied to the Imperium that Narek knew of could achieve that feat. His mark adorned the grey, nondescript armour that Narek wore. But it could not have been him. At least, not directly. Another, then. His body a conduit for the will of the Sigillite. First Lord of Terror, Grand Master of Assassins, Narek said aloud. He lifted his knife so he could see the unfamiliar face staring back at him in the blade. It was unremarkable, forgettable, a mask to get him out of Ultramar.
You are not the face of Caspian Hecht, said Narek.
Raising the knife to his cheek, he made a small incision, just long enough to reach under it with his gauntleted finger. There was blood, but not much. He cut deeper, longer. This time he gently dug up a flap of skin. Still so little blood. Cursory, minimal. And as he peeled back the layer, he saw not flesh, not tissue or muscle, or even skull. Narek saw more skin. It carried etchings that he recognized. Colchisian cuneiform. It was his skin. Barthusa Narek's skin. He pulled hard, and the false flesh peeled off entirely, leaving a gruesome synth skin mask in Narek's hands. An iron ewer stood by the brazier, intended for the dousing of the flame and the raising of steam. He used it to cleanse his blade.
I know this face, he uttered to the shadows,
and with that, further revelation came swiftly. Caspian Hecht had lived. He had been a psyker, his purpose to modify Narek's mind, to bend and manipulate, to obscure, even from the subject himself, who he was. He knew because Hecht knew it, and he was Hecht, a part of him anyway. But something had gone wrong. Caspian Hecht was dead, though something of him clung on, alive inside Narek's mind.
I am a son of the word. I am Narek.
The sound of a blade slipping its sheath made him turn.
That is unfortunate, said Rekor Zathen, standing in the archway to the solatorium. Because it means I am going to have to kill you now.
Narek rose from his kneeling position, his knife held loosely in his grasp.
Only two warriors aboard this ship are capable of defeating me in single combat. Arrogant and a traitor,
Zathen replied, not bothering to hide his disgust at the pieces of skin mask still clinging to Narek's face.
Just weary, said Narek, and looked it. Do you know how many people want to kill me? I would think a great many.
Narek nodded.
You would be correct. I am traitor to you and pariah to my own legion. I saw his light, and I knew then that I trod the wrong path. Only now I am uncertain what my path is.
Zathen twirled around his blade to loosen up his wrist.
Is this mean to garner sympathy? You will find none in me. It was the blood of my brothers you shed on the black sand. No, I merely tell you that there is another soul who has heard it. Even now, as I speak the words to you, it sounds inconceivable. From the moment we left Macragge, this journey has been inconceivable. Was this your doing, somehow? A viper in our ranks? Influencing our minds so we cast ourselves adrift again?
Narek showed his hands in genuine contrition.
It is one crime of which I am innocent. You Drakes did this alone. Are you so sure you will fail? Where is your faith in your legion?
It died on bloody black sand. Your knives lodged firmly in our backs. We should have died there. I should have died. But we survived and have limped on ever since. That is the cruelest irony about all of this. We are the dead, ferrying the dead.
I don't want to kill you. We once fought as allies when you knew me as Caspian Hecht.
Zathen's eyes narrowed, and he took a step into the solitorium, slowly closing Narek down.
Whatever armor you clad your body in, whoever skin you hide your true self behind, does not change what you are, betrayer. This is foolish, Zathen. Don't speak my name like we are brothers. Ready your blade. I won't strike you down as you struck my brothers down.
As you wish, said Narek, cracking his knuckles. You should know something before we begin, though.
What's that? Those two warriors I mentioned. You are not one of them.
Both legionaries took up their fighting stances and were about to begin when the general alert sounded. Klaxons shrieked throughout the solitorium as Essenzi's voice issued through the vox. They had broken back into real space in sight of Nocturne. She urged all to battle stations, lamenting the death of Kolo Odyssean, but instilling in her crew the resolve to avenge him and achieve what they had lost so much striving to achieve, to deliver Vulcan. Zathen appeared stunned at the news, as if he were scarcely able to comprehend it.
Impossible, he breathed,
his attention elsewhere for but a moment as the import of what he had just heard sank in. Narek needed less than half that time to act. He sprang forwards, parrying Zathen's instinctive thrust, turning it aside and coming in close to crash his forehead into the salamander's nose. Spitting fury, Zathen reeled, but Narek pressed the advantage by seizing the back of his head and smashing it hard against the solitorium's unyielding wall. Something cracked, either bone or rock, potentially both. Either way, it left Zathen out cold and slumped on the floor. Narek had to move quickly. Kor Galik had a henchman of a sort that Narek knew well and who knew him. Essenzi had identified the Monarchia as one of the enemy vessels bearing down on the Charybdis. That meant Degat. Narek's defection would have offended Degat's twisted sense of honor. He would be coming for him. He looked down at the unconscious salamander.
Looks like you get to live a little longer, brother.